For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I want to just take a verse and give you the setting and lift it a bit out of context, though it really won't be. But 1 Samuel chapter 17 is not an unfamiliar story. In fact, it's probably one of the most familiar stories that you might have in all the Old Testament. It's the story of David and Goliath. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1, "Now the Philistines, the age-old enemies of the Israelites, gathered together their armies to battle." That was not unusual. And it says, "And were gathered together at Shoko, which belongs to Judah, and pitched between Shoko and Azekah in Ephes-Damim, and Saul," it says in verse 2, "and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah." And it says they set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. There was a valley between them. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless the message today. Help us, I pray, to find a cause that's greater than us. And I pray, Lord, that we would be found busy and in the battle when you call us home. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the story goes, and of course it's a true story, we know in the Bible, that young David, of course, met this Goliath, who was the champion of the Philistines. He was over 9 feet tall. He's a family of giants, the Anakims. The Bible tells us that probably he was about 9 feet 6, 9 feet 3, 9 feet 6. What's 3 inches when you're 9 feet tall, you know? And he would come out, and as they did in those days, they'd been battling on the battlefield, and as they would do, they would send out a soldier, and he would put out a challenge to the other team, if you will, the other army, and send me a man, and if your best soldier can whip our best soldier, then we'll surrender. And it didn't always work that way, or vice versa. And that's what Goliath was doing. And he was coming out and challenging the Israelites to battle, one-on-one, their best man against him. And of course, you know the story well. Not only did he challenge them, but he made fun of their army, their king, their God. And Jesse, who had 3 older sons in this battle with the Philistines, with the Israelites, which were the right team, by the way. We're on the winning side. But anyway, they were on the winning side. And they were there, and Jesse sent his youngest son, David, who was home keeping the sheep, sent him out into the battle lines to check on his brothers and to take them some food and refreshment. So he comes. The Bible says when David arrives there, when he comes, it's about that time of the day when Goliath steps out into the valley and his booming voice is heard above all others, "Send me a man." Well, David, the Bible says, was of a ruddy countenance and a fair countenance, kind of a freckled face, red-headed young Jewish boy. He got fired up, and he heard this challenge, and man, his blood began to burn inside of him, and he steps up and steps out. King Saul would have been the likely candidate to go and fight, and he was hesitant to do that. Well, the Bible says in verse 23 of chapter 17, looking ahead, it says, "As he talked with them," as David talked with his brothers, "Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And when all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from before him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that has come up? And surely to defy Israel has he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter.' And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? And who is this
uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? The people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done. So when Eliab, his elder brother, the Bible says, rebuked him. He said, I know your heart. You know, anybody's ever had an older brother, you know how that is. He said, I know your heart. You're just out here. And you just want to put on a show. You're full of pride. Why don't you go back home, take care of dad's sheep. We'll do the fighting, and so on. You know, anybody's had an older brother or sister, you've heard that. And he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride. He didn't, but he thought he did. I know the naughtiness of thine heart. He didn't, but he thought he did. I know that thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He didn't, but he thought he did. And David said, verse 29, what have I now done? What have I now done? I've never been able to please you, Eliab, or any of my older brethren. Never been able to please you. But that's not the point. He said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And it kind of, I think, took others by surprise there that day. I think they were kind of taken back with the boldness of this young son of Jesse. And he turned from him to another and spake after the same manner. And I think what he did, he said, is there not a cause? He said it corporately. And then he said, hey, is there not a cause? 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 And he began to challenge them, looking them in their God-given eyeball. And David said to Saul, it says, when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul. Saul said, who is this young man? And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail, verse 32, because of him, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Well, you know the rest of the story. He did. And he slew a giant that day. And the Bible says that David prevailed in verse 50 over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine, slew him. There was no sword in the hand of David, but he took Goliath's sword. David ran and stood over upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it and slew him and cut off his head. What'd they do? They fled. I would too. That's the story. David, they began to write songs about David. Saul has slain his thousands. David his 10,000s. His notoriety and fame began to grow. His favor between God and man began to grow. God would use young David as a mighty king, as a mighty king over the people of Israel. He would become known as a man after God's own heart. But why was all of that? Why? Because he had a cause. I think on this Veterans Day weekend, I think of the cause that these flags represent. God bless America. The red, white, and blue. What is the cause of freedom? What does that mean? What does that mean? I think we've heard testimony today what that means. Someone said this, I'd rather fail in a cause that someday will triumph than triumph in a cause that someday will fail. A cause is important. David had a cause, no doubt about that. Some of the cause that I think he was feeling coursing through his veins there that day, first of all, was his family. He thought of his family. He thought of his home. He thought of his future. What kind of future are we going to have if the Philistines overrun us? David had a cause. He thought of his freedom. He knew what the Philistines would do. He knew what marauding, godless people they were. By the way, they fizzled out as a race of people. He had another cause, though, his faith. Not only was he angry that the army of Israel would be challenged, but he was angry that the authority of God would be challenged. He was angry for the God of his fathers. David had a cause. Something stirred in the heart of young David there that day. You know, a cause will do that for you. A cause will get you up in the morning. A cause will pick you up when you fall. A cause will stir you up when you're discouraged. A cause will clear you up when you're confused. A cause will fill you up when you're empty. And a cause will clean you up when you're soiled. That's what a cause will do. People have lived for a cause and many have died for a cause. Not always the best cause. I think of our veterans that we've heard from today and this weekend. Our veterans have answered the call of service because of a cause. Because of a cause. I think of Israelis who the girls give 2 years of service, the boys 3 years of service. I mean, in a matter of minutes, there was a 300,000 person army ready to go against the enemies of Israel the other day. I like to think that's still true in America. I think the cause of freedom, I think the cause of our forefathers, the cause of our faith and our family and our future and the cause of our fathers should be our cause too. Now look, we can't intertwine patriotism and salvation, or conservatism and salvation. Salvation's separate. That's a great cause. But I want to just maybe make application today on this Veterans Day weekend. When we think about veterans who, first of all, have spent time away from family. You know, I think of David here. There are a lot of parallels here. David spent time away from his family. He longed to see his brothers. He longed to go and encourage his brothers and all that, though they misunderstood his cause. But I think of veterans who spend time away from their family. I think of Jason here has spent a great deal of time away from home in deployments, and others here, and Jim and others have spent time deployments. I think of my dad who spent 3 years in Europe during World War II. Time away from family. Secondly, I think of what veterans have done, and I think also when we consider this cause of freedom and the cause of faith, I think a test in the face of fear. David faced a test in the face of fear. Now, David was a young man. He was not tested in battle. He had the heart for it, but he had not been tested in battle yet. But he would be. David would be tested, and this was his first great test. I mean, he was going to get a master's degree in his very first test. There's a 9-foot-6-inch giant standing there, and when he spoke, I mean, his hair went backward, you know. And he had bad breath. He faced a test in the face of fear. But here's the thing that made David different. David was willing. Those who have a cause are willing to stand for that cause. I think as Americans, we have a double cause. We have the cause of freedom and we have the cause of our faith. And the two, I think as far as the foundation, the framework of our nation, those two have gone together over the years. A test in the face of fear. In fact, in verse 32 of chapter 17, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." That's what these veterans have done. They may not have been thrilled about it, but they said, "We'll go." They were willing. There's a willingness for those who have a cause. What did he do? He slew a giant. I mean, I think of those 531 veterans that were represented in our parade yesterday in Jackson County. There was a cause there. There was a test in the face of fear and inexperience. David was young and David was inexperienced, but yet he was willing. He was willing. These veterans have faced that. I like to read biographies. Jace mentioned Alvin York, who grew up in the mountains of Tennessee, the mountains of Tennessee. In fact, when he was first drafted in World War I, Alvin York, he really prayed long and hard about going because he couldn't get past that verse where it says, "Thou shalt not kill." And he had to get it in the context, get it right in his mind and heart. And finally, he decided that he He could serve, and he could serve God, and he could serve as a soldier. And of course, he's known as racing into, no doubt with fear in his heart, facing and running into a machine gunner, a German machine gun nest, and overwhelmingly, defeating them with a few men behind him, and capturing 132 men almost single-handedly. Sergeant York, an American hero. He was willing. He was willing. I mean, in the face of fear, he was willing. I read this week about another David. His name was Audie Murphy. Audie Murphy is the most, to this day, the most decorated American soldier in history. We know Audie Murphy through old westerns and war movies and things like that. But Audie Murphy was turned down by the Marine Corps because he was 5'5" tall. But the Army accepted him, and it turned out pretty well for him. But in the face of fear, in the face of doubt, he was willing. He was willing. I read the story this week about Jimmy Stewart. Many don't know about Jimmy Stewart, but Jimmy Stewart was a captain of a fighter squadron in World War II, a bombing squadron. He was captain of a group of B-24s, a bomber group, the 453rd bomber group in World War II over France and Germany. He flew 20 missions, Jimmy Stewart did. He was the commander of the 703rd squadron, and he often referred to 1,000 black memories that he could never get over. Obviously suffering from PTSD, and no one had a definition for that back then. In fact, no one had a cure for that back then. People just dealt with it. On one mission, Jimmy Stewart was the lead plane, or often was the lead plane, but in one mission, he lost 13 planes, 130 men. And he suffered much guilt and anguish over that. He had two sons and twin daughters. He was married to his wife Gloria for 45 years. And Jimmy Stewart had one son that died in Vietnam. I didn't know about that until I read that this week. But they said when Jimmy Stewart, and we're next month we're going to be able to watch the greatest movie ever made. It's a Wonderful Life. But they said when Jimmy Stewart unraveled emotionally in front of his family in that movie, that his emotions were so up here, right at the surface, that he was so suffering from war wounds mentally and physically that was natural for him. That was his PTSD acting out, that just all those emotions coming out were as real could be. I think about those that were willing. Those that were willing. You know, freedom is a costly, costly, costly thing that we have in America today. David faced a test in the face of fear. He faced time away from his family. But number three, he faced a task that ensured our freedom and their freedom. Veterans faced a task that ensured our freedom. Like Brother Tom said this morning, it may have been a small part. A small part. But there were no small parts when it comes to freedom. Freedom is costly. Freedom must be fought for. David stepped out against a giant that threatened his land and his way of life, and David said, "Is there not a cause? Have we lost our cause in America?" I hope not. I think it was Reagan that said we're never more than one generation away from losing our freedom. The Declaration of Independence, the last line in the Declaration of Independence says this, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." And to many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, that's exactly what it cost them. It cost them their lives. It cost them their fortunes. It cost them their sacred honor. It was a task that ensured our freedom. It had to be fought for. Let's never take that for granted. I've heard my dad talk about, he was talking about the other day in World War II. He said, I was a part of 60-some thousand soldiers, infantrymen, riflemen, 60-some thousand soldiers that were sent overseas into the European theater that were replacements. He said there were so many men dying in battle. They had 60-some thousand of us trained quickly. I think it was in Alabama, basic training. They sent them out, and he said we were on a troop ship of over 5,000 soldiers packed in there, sending them into battle. Thank God he didn't have to do that the way it turned out, but here's the thing. He was willing. He knew there was a price to be paid and a task that ensured our freedom. And veterans have completed that task in whatever way that they were called to do it. David had a task. He had a task that ensured the freedom of his people. And then finally, you think about veterans, and you think about what David did here. He had a truth that was a firm foundation. Look in verse 44. The Philistine said to David, come to me, I'll give you thy flesh and the fowls of the air. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. He stood on a firm foundation of truth. And he said, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And he said in verse 47, all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He'll give you into our hands. I think about that Declaration of Independence. I was reading it this week. The general that spoke yesterday in the service read portions of our Constitution, and it reminded me of a number of things. But in Congress on the 4th of July, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events, think about this, we're talking about truth, freedom, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. On this Veterans Day, let's be reminded of that. Let's be reminded. I think of this statement. It has three basic ideas. Number one, God made all men equal and gave them the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. God did. Government didn't. God did. Secondly, the main business of the government is to protect these rights. That's the main business of government. And number three, in the Declaration of Independence, if a government tries to withhold these rights, the people are free to revolt and to set up a new government. I happen to believe that the Constitution and our founding fathers were guided by God and guarded by God to give us this framework of freedom called the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. And I believe we can see in all of this, truth was a firm foundation of our fathers. They believed the Bible was the Word of God. They believed the Bible. Our founding fathers were men who believed that without God's help, we would never be able to become a free nation. And without God's help, we could never continue as a free nation. You have a cause today? You have a cause? Let's make David's cause our cause. By the way, I think of truth today. I think of John 8, 32. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Isaiah said that truth is fallen in the street, but he never said that truth has failed. Truth has never failed, and truth has always continued to march on, and truth is something that we build our lives upon. And Jesus Christ said, I'm the truth, and Jesus Christ did not fall. He did not falter. He did not fail. But he went to the cross and triumphed over death, hell, and the grave, and bought and purchased our salvation on Calvary's tree. The Bible says we're to speak the truth in love, and we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because of those who had a cause, the cause of freedom, the cause of freedom, you and I can stand upon the cause of Christ today. What a wonderful truth that is. Let me ask you today, what are you living for? What's your cause? What would you die for? What's your cause? David said, is there not a cause? Because of a cause, David prevailed over the Philistine. Because of a cause, the Bible says the Philistines ran and they were overrun and defeated by the Israelites. All because of one who had a cause. Jeremiah had a cause. Isaiah had a cause. Ezekiel had a cause. Daniel had a cause. The prophets had causes. The patriarchs had a cause. Abraham didn't start out with a cause. He didn't start out as a friend of God. But he was looking for a city. He was looking for a country whose builder and maker is God, and he found a cause. So can we. Look, you can love that flag and die and go to hell. But because of that flag, you don't have to die and go to hell. Because of that flag, we have the freedom, just as some of these young people said today, we have the freedom to preach the Word of God and stand upon the Word of God, build our families upon the Word of God, and have this cause of freedom and this framework of faith given to us by our founding fathers, but greater than that, given to us by our Heavenly Father. Is there not a cause? Find your cause today.